What's good? Hi, and welcome to another new episode of my podcast titled The Truth for You. My name is Bintou St. Jean, your host, and today we got ourselves another interesting topic. Today's topic is we're going to be talking about is living off grid. Now, I know that we've been talking about the youth. This is what this podcast is all about, is helping the youth and the young people through various issues and phases and stages in their lives, giving them counsels and advices, specifically from Bible research and just practical ideas and tips to help the youth get over life issues and problems and help them to become the best that they can be and fulfill their God-given wills. Well, this episode is about helping our young people through a time of crisis through something called wilderness therapy. You don't want to miss this episode. Stay tuned. Growing up as a kid, I always wanted to live an outdoor life. As a kid, I loved being outside. I could literally be outside all day, literally, by myself, and I would be the happiest kid in the world. Every day outside was a new adventure to me. There was always something to fascinate me. Me and my little sister would play in the front yard in the morning to noon, and I would still be outside at night. Growing up, I was a nature boy. Woo! Well, if you know, you know. Continuing, I would climb trees, treasure hunt, chase my shadow, catch bees with water bottles, eating coconuts, building things, planting seeds, watching them grow, then watch them die because I forgot to water them. And I always see myself as a Haitian Tarzan. JK. Life was very simple. Outdoor was my life. And then I got a PlayStation for Christmas and I never saw daylight. But that's not the point. The point is that I was always at peace when I was outdoor. I thought of outdoor as my playground, a place of recreation. But as I grew older as an adult, not giving my age, 26, I began to realize that outdoor was not just a playground, but a place of refuge. Not merely from the hood or from external dangers, but also from depression and an artificial life framed by societal pressures. Little did I know that my therapists would be trees and singing birds, and by the way, I hated singing birds. I used to throw rocks at trees to shut them up. And I never knew also that my medicine would be water and herbal plants, that my habitat would be mountains and land. I never thought I'd see nature as a place of refuge for troubled youths like me. I always thought of it as a place to play, but never a place to live. Let's talk about it. I get it. Today's youth have gone wild. Long hair don't care. Short hair don't care. No hair don't care. Live fast. Die young. Get money. Get women. You only live once. Get it how you live. All of these mottos that keeps our young people living on the edge. And I understand, as a youth myself, who wants to be limited? I'm young. Let me be wild and free. My greatest fear as a youth has always been falling short of the maximum that I can get out of life. We want a good time, not a long time. But there's a right way to do it. And the fast track is often the one that gets derailed by reality. Because life comes with consequences. And as young people, if it makes me happy, there's a thrill, and I can get some kind of high or exhilaration of a dopamine, I'll go for it. Why not? Ain't gonna hurt nobody. But as a result of this kind of behavior, in pursuit of validation, independence, and identity, our parents and even society begins to lose grip on the youth. With social media, social pressures, we have strayed so far from being productive members of society that we as young people have become destructive. And a lot of this I can't blame on the youth, because I know that as young people, we go through trauma, depression, emptiness, anxiety, and ultimately thoughts of suicide, and the outward behavior is just symptoms of a deeper issue that is going on a much deeper level. I would say the only luxury of living a troubled life is that you don't have to pretend. But you don't have to pretend to make good choices either. But a lot of those choices, those bad choices, are influenced by our environments, our surroundings. And so mom has to send Jeremiah to his father to straighten his behavior. But his father himself is addicted to alcohol, constantly inviting women, smoking and drinking, watching sports. And sometimes even little Jasmine, yes, Jasmine, has to be sent to her aunts, grandmas. Or even in Haitian cultures, parents often threaten to send their children to Haiti, even if they were born in America, if they're giving trouble at home. And then you have the foster care system and other places of refuge for troubled youths or at-risk teens. But there's one place that parents don't often consider nor ever come to mind, and that's the wilderness. All right, let's run the facts. In an article written by the University of Minnesota by Earl E. Bacon Center for Spirituality and Healing, written on how nature affects our well-being. And I must say, there were some very interesting finds in this article. For instance, research shows that environments can either increase or reduce stress, which can also affect us physically. What we hear, what we see, and experience at any moment not only changes our moods, but also affects how the nervous, endocrine, and immune systems are working. The mind and the body have a very intimate relationship with one another. When one is affected, the other sympathizes. The stress of an unpleasant environment can cause one to feel stressed, anxious, and/or sad or helpless. And I'll give a good example. Over the Christmas weekend, I was visiting a good friend of mine, and when I arrived to his apartment complex, the area was horribly managed. Litter and trash was all over the parking lot. Party cups, food, and even garbage was all over the apartment complex. It was insane. The moment I stepped out my car, I already felt uneasy and a little frustrated. I was frustrated and I ain't even lived there. I just came to visit. So I can only imagine how the residents feel about it who has to wake up to this every day. I noticed that the dumpster was only feet away from all the garbage. I mean, really, how much more cardio does it take to pick up the garbage and take it to the dumpster that's only a feet away? Me and my good friend were speaking about it in front of his place, and a neighbor of his, a young lady, overheard the conversation and began to vent with us on how frustrated she was and angry and stressed she was and tired of waking up to this kind of garbage and mess every day. And she was saying, if you think this was bad, you should see my area. This is nothing compared to what I see every day. So just imagine the impression that this can leave on the minds of children and youths. So your environment can really affect your mental health in a positive or in a negative way. Negative meaning your blood pressures can be raised, your heart rate and muscle tension can be raised as well too, which in turn can affect your immune system in a way that can cause illness and maybe even a disease. Your environment can be a health crisis. The article goes further to mention that regardless of age or culture, we all find nature pleasing and soothing. In fact, one study cited in a book called Healing Gardens, researchers found that 2/3 of people choose a natural setting to retreat to when stressed. But unfortunately, as young people, we were led to believe that to reduce stress, we should hit up clubs, party, the dance halls, skating rink. But all of these places of amusement fall short of the therapeutic atmosphere, fresh air, green trees, clear waters, and singing birds. In most cases, people fight in clubs, in parties. They get drunk, and they get violent. There's more violence rather than peace that occurs ever so often. Someone decides to shoot up a club. That doesn't reduce stress. That increases it. And I've never seen a person dance to the beat of gunshots. Instead, people are running and panicking, and in many cases, our young people are surrounded by these kind of environments, thinking it's helping them mentally and emotionally when really it's the environment that's putting their lives at risk. So if the environment can be changed, then the condition can be changed or improved, I should say, because a change is a decision. An environment itself cannot change you. It can affect you. But ultimately, you choose whether or not if you will be a product of your environment. And this is something I preach to the youth all the time that I try to get them to understand, that your environment does not determine your destiny. Speaking of environment and shootings, a research done by the University of Illinois suggests that residents in Chicago public housing who had trees and green space around their buildings reported knowing more people, having stronger feelings of unity with neighbors, being more concerned with helping and supporting one another, and having stronger feelings of belonging than tenants in buildings without trees. I guess the grass is greener on the other side, as they say. And it goes further. In addition to the greater sense of community, they had reduced risk of street crime, lower levels of violence and aggression between domestic partners, and a better capacity to deal with life demands, especially the stresses of living in poverty. Now, Chicago holds a very special place in my heart because I know Chicago is one of those places where it's one of the most notorious places where our youths are lives are at risk. And according to this research and this article, an answer to the violence that is in Chicago is actually nature. Nature helping our youths and young people to go to a wilderness retreat, even planting or teaching them how to garden. This as well can curb violence and street crimes. Now, this particular experience was also explained by studies that use fMRI to measure brain activity. Watch this. When participants viewed nature scenes, trees, birds, water, the parts of the brain associated with empathy and love lit up. But when they viewed urban areas, the parts of the brain associated with fear and anxiety were activated. So you're telling me that the more one is connected with nature or becomes one with nature, we as a result become one with one another. Matter of fact, our sympathy towards nature increases our sympathy towards one another. Could it be that the lack of love, the lack of sympathy, and the lack of brotherhood in our neighborhoods and in our communities is a result of a lack of nature and a lack of trees? Could it be that our youths are stressed, aggravated, and depressed simply by the scenes of corner stores, liquor stores, billboards of half-naked women, beer and alcohol cans in brown bags, cigarettes at their doorsteps, sirens and police racing through their neighborhoods and highways? And even if you're living in the suburbs, unless you are surrounded by nature, negative emotions can be activated as well too. Feelings of jealousy because the Jones bought a new Tesla, or Ricky bought a brand new boat or yacht parked right in front of the neighborhood. A new neighbor who has political banners and props all over their yard can create tension and competition. The environment of nature is undisputed when it comes to mental health and well-being, especially concerning our youth. Our young people need to spend more time in front of nature and not TV. The scenes of nature have far more better natural amusements and recreation than the scenes on TV. Nature is God's TV. I call that nature flicks. Speaking of screen time, nature deprivation, a lack of time in the natural world, mostly due to excessive amount of time in front of TV or computer screens or your phone, has been associated with depression, which is no surprise. Studies conducted by Weinstein and others suggests that screen time leads to a lack of empathy and altruism, or an unselfish regard or devotion to the welfare of others. Young people, go outside, take a trip to nature, and don't just think of it as a place of vacation, but also consider it as a place to stay. If you want to be more happy, if you want to be in a better mood, if you want to develop your character in a positive way, consider nature. Now, I know what you're wondering. What is wilderness therapy? Allow me to introduce. Wilderness therapy programs offer therapeutic solutions to individuals struggling with behavioral and mental health issues. The program often offers a multidisciplinary approach to therapy, integrating wilderness therapy with traditional therapeutic techniques. Wilderness therapy programs utilize the wilderness as a therapeutic tool. See, nature is therapeutic. Once individuals are removed from the hectic surroundings of daily life, they are more able to focus on improving mental health overall. Now check this out. According to AspiralAdventures.com, the goal of wilderness therapy is to provide therapeutic assessment, intervention and treatment of problem behaviors, safety and stabilization, as well as lasting change. Now, what the wilderness therapy typically involves is a radical change of environment. Wilderness therapy allows participants in the natural environment as part of the therapeutic process to evoke introspection and facilitate change. It also provides challenging experiences, allowing the individual to experience self-discovery and personal growth by means of challenging experiences. These experiences teaches psychological concepts like flow, grit, growth mindset, and self-efficacy. Don't quote me on that word. It also fosters healthy relationship development, living in peer groups provides opportunities for clients to practice healthy relationships. And of course, most importantly, therapy. Individual and group therapy sessions facilitate clients' individual improvements and use group dynamics as a foundation to improve interpersonal effectiveness in families and relationships, and also teach healthy coping strategies and mechanisms. Programming and educational curriculums focused on developing mastery and skills. The Wilderness staff guide and model the application of skills and introspection for students. Now, there are over 25 privately run Wilderness programs and hundreds of government or NGO programs where parents can send their troubled teens to. Now, my purpose of this podcast is not merely to promote any of these specific Wilderness programs, but to highlight the huge factor of the Wilderness environment in impacting and changing the course of our youth's lives. Nature in itself is therapeutic. Fresh air, fresh water, fresh experiences away from the distractions and things of this artificial way of living that we now know it here in the city. Now, this wilderness experience, this concept of allowing the wilderness to be a therapeutic retreat for our youth was actually not first founded by clinical professionals. But this kind of therapy was first introduced by God. God placed Adam and Eve in the garden in an environment that would best suit their mental, emotional, behavioral, and ultimately spiritual development. I mean, even Moses had to be sent into the wilderness for 40 years to undo the 40 years of Egyptian education and prepare him for his life mission. John the Baptist, the voice crying in the wilderness, was placed in the wilderness to prepare him for his life mission as well. And even Jesus himself lived an outdoor life. The most famous sermon Jesus preached was not at a huge convention center. It was on the mount. And often Jesus would retreat in a solitary place to commune with his Father. Now, personally, I had a chance to visit North Carolina over the Thanksgiving break. And let me tell you, it was such a beautiful experience. I mean, the nature, the land, the animals, the atmosphere. Everything was great except for the weather. It was pretty cold. It was a little chilly, I'm not going to lie. And I was speaking with a gentleman there, and he told me something that really made me think. He said, you know, when you're in the city and you hear a gunshot, you go in the house, and in 1 hour, it'll be on TV or on the news. But in the country, when you hear a gunshot, it's nothing. No one is startled. Chances are, a deer got shot. It's hunting season. You see, it's all about location. The best place to raise your children is in the country, in the wilderness. Where you raise your family can get in the way of how you raise your family. God placed Adam and Eve not in Madison Square Garden, but in the Garden of Eden, which was not just a location, but a system. The wilderness is a place that is free from the failed system of city life. Living in the country is not about escaping external danger. It's about escaping a false reality of life and living. I mean, after all, how can anyone truly desiring to spiritually develop do so in a sex-driven environment? I mean, people are dressed half naked every day, everywhere, at the store, at the mall, at the beach, on the streets. There was a viral video of an Asian woman not too long ago that was taking down an ad on a subway train in New York, which was an ad of two women kissing. And she was arguing that this was only propaganda that was molding the young minds in a very negative way. And must I also mention alcohol, smoking, cussing, and swearing? You walk outside your door and you hear neighbors screaming at each other, spouses arguing and fighting. You go outside, cars constantly honking, sirens alarming, police cars and ambulances racing. On top of that, you have to beat 9 o'clock traffic and then 5 o'clock traffic. Get your kids to school, make it on time for work, grocery shopping. Life is so fast paced that we rarely get a chance to just slow down and reflect. And because we don't have a chance to reflect, we don't have a chance to evaluate and to really focus on developing ourselves. And also, there is going to come a time where our system is going to fail and ultimately collapse. I mean, let's think about it, right? Living here in the city, our main source of medicines and supplies would be going to the hospital or going to the pharmacy. Our main source of food, Walmart, Publix, Trader Joe's, or what have you, right? Now, if anything were to happen to our economy, if our economy was to collapse, if places were to shut down, stores were to be shut down, restaurants to be shut down, and this whole system or city was to be on a lockdown, where really will we get our supply of food or source of medicine? Your chances are very unlikely unless you really stocked up before such event happens. Now, think about if you live in the wilderness or in the country and you have your own garden. You can grow your own food. Therefore, you can have your own storehouse for food and you wouldn't necessarily be much affected. And also, if you have a well as well, too, you have your source of water. And also, most medicine comes from plants. So you'll have your herbal treatments and your natural remedies. So you would still be able to primarily function if this whole world was to go on a shutdown or a lockdown, as we have seen in times past before. So, as I mentioned before, living in the wilderness is a system that allows you to thrive, even through a crisis. And the way the world is going right now, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a crisis that is on the verge of breaking. But as I mentioned before, the primary reason for the wilderness experience is to develop your character, because in order to become one with God, one must also become one with nature, which is God's creation. And when you go out in nature, all you see is God. You don't see skyscrapers made by man. You don't see towers made by construction workers, but you see the towers of trees, right? The skyscrapers of mountains, and you see the vast districts of land. You see the hand and the work of God. It's easier to keep your mind focused on God when you're in the midst of His creation. It's easier to be at awe. So it is a perfect place that is suitable for not even just troubled youths and teens, but for any and everyone who is trying to find an escape from this artificial life and this artificial way of living that is so promoted to us out here in the city and the propagandas on the streets and ads on billboards. It was always God's design that all of His children would be out living in the wilderness. Now, that's not to say that we all can do that or have the freedom or luxury to do so. But nonetheless, the principle remains that the wilderness is best suitable for our character development, especially in our youths and our young teens. It is my prayer
that even if you don't plan on living in the country or living in the wilderness or sending your youth there, take a trip, visit it, experience it, see it for yourself, and then think about it and pray about it. Because at the end of the day, ain't gonna hurt nobody if you try. All right, so that pretty much sums up today's episode. I want to thank you all for listening to this podcast, The Truth For You. And if you haven't, be sure to subscribe to the podcast so that you may be able to get extra contents and other counsels and advices as we just had on this episode. This will be all, my youths. May you all have a blessed one. And until next time, like always, stay blessed. Goodbye. Thank you.